Let's jump in the Word of God real fast. Philippians chapter 4. I want to go over a few things that we talked about last week. And it all deals with, again, getting a hold of receiving the peace of God. We need it. Say amen to that. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. Now, we started last week in verse 4 of Philippians 4, and we understood that it was a continual reminder in the King James verse 4 when it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and again. And I like it when he helps us understand when he says again. "And again I say rejoice," because there's something about not losing your joy in these last days. And we went all the way down, and we really stopped in verse 7 when it talked about the peace of God. Now, everybody look at me just for a second. The reason that I want to minister on the peace of God and just end it up today is that's the very thing that the devil, the enemy, wants you to be robbed of in these days is your peace. Because if you don't have peace, you're going to be meditating on all the bad things that are going on in your life. Why did the doctor say that about when someone goes to them and gets a bad report? Going through divorce, ooh, Jesus. They can be really, really tough when you're going through these things and just the fighting that happens when there is divorce, or even the issues of why there was divorce. And if you're not careful, the enemy then gets you into guilt, condemnation, tries to make you think that you're not worthy, and just a down spiral a lot of times, unless you find out that your God is not a God of guilt and condemnation. And the things that were meant for bad were meant to destroy you and get you off the mark of the high calling of Christ, he'll turn to good. Amen. Yes, he will. And he'll provide better. Yes, he will. If you would just operate in the kingdom. But if he steals your peace through financial issues, not having enough work in what the world calls a recession or downed economy or major inflation, if you participate in all that, yeah, you're going to have a hard time with maintaining peace. We're looking at wars and rumors of wars. We're hearing that China is not a friend, like we've been convinced of. They are an adversary, someone that wants to destroy the United States, and it's pretty obvious if you just open your eyes. We're seeing all kinds of things take place, knowing that we're in the last days, or we're in the last of the last days. Not to scare anybody like my children. "Yeah, but Dad, I don't want Jesus to come back. I haven't married. I haven't had children." And I said, "Man, I understand. I mean, there's a lot of goals and visions and dreams, but really, you might want to check your salvation, because it's not really about all that. No, the Bible teaches us to seek first his kingdom. And then not to stop and get on a couch waiting for the Lord to return, but to continue serving him. And then he'll give you desires of your heart." Praise the Lord. I mean, I still rope. How old am I? 53, coming 54, and still I feel like I can outrun my son. Y'all know he's got a broke leg, right? But don't get me wrong, y'all doubters. I know how to win. I trip him. Now, the point is we've got to have and understand that God wants us to have peace. Amen. Even when we don't understand why we're going through this trial or tribulation or this thing that we don't know where the end is. Okay? We need peace. We need peace. And as 7 says, it'll pass all understanding and it'll keep. And we talked about this, and this is really where I ended, even if I kind of went into the next verse. But it says, and it'll keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. In other words, don't let the enemy get you off of doing everything in Jesus' name. Okay? Now, let's go on with that then and really get built up. That God wants you to have the peace of God. Because if you got peace and you've got joy, oh, that devil gets mad and he don't understand that. But what it causes him to do, if you'll maintain peace and you'll maintain the joy of the Lord that gives you strength, right? You got strength, praise God. If you maintain those things, then you'll have victory after victory, and you'll get through the trials and tribulations a whole lot faster instead of staying in them all the time. As we always say, building a tent in the middle of a trial and tribulation. You are not designed to build a tent and stay in a trial and tribulation. The Bible tells us, instructs a believer in Jesus Christ to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't stay in the middle of it. But it all is getting your faith up and understanding that he wants you to have peace, which will surpass understanding. You don't have to understand it. He'll show it to you eventually. Amen. But it'll keep your heart and your mind in him. And I've always said this, whatever you're believing God for, if you can get it from the mind down into the heart, that faith, that belief system, down into the heart, manifestation. If it just stays up here in the head and you read it, you read how God says you're the head, not the tail, you're above and not beneath, and it don't ever get into the heart, that faith, man, then all it is do is stay up there in the head. And God wants you to get it down into the heart. That's why the Apostle Paul is trying to teach us right here that peace of God which passes understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ. In other words, he'll convince us to you stay hooked to Jesus. A guy that has been a partner of our ministry for a long time. I mean, it is a very funny thing he's a panhandler. He lives in El Paso, Texas, came to our church at Lubbock for years, and then moved to El Paso. I believe he's a veteran. And he felt like the Lord wanted him to hold a sign at the entrance of Walmart that said, hey, I'll pray for you. Didn't say I need money. It didn't say I need work. He just said, hey, if you need prayer, and I mean, people bless him. Well, then he turns around and sends it to our ministry and has for years. And I'm like, okay, that's different. Praise the Lord, though, however. And he's so faithful. Oh, Jim. And probably even watches us, online. And, well, God provided him some land in Capitan, New Mexico. But he's struggling, and he sends me a little note this last week or so, and it had 300 or 400 just, hey, I wanted to bless the ministry. I want to stay faithful to God. He was given to Glenn Smith, and then Glenn went to heaven also. And but he said some things. He said, you know, I'm just struggling, and I just need some prayer because, you know, I don't know where to move. And you know what I said to him? Stay hooked to Jesus. I mean, that was the greatest thing that I could have probably said to him is stay hooked to Jesus. Because did you notice? If you've got the peace of God which passes the understanding, it'll keep your heart and your mind in through Christ Jesus. But look what the next verse begins to teach us. Finally, it says, verse 8, brethren, that's talking about us, believers, right? Brethren, we're believers, we're brothers and sisters. Whatsoever things are true. Look at me just for a second. How many of you know in the world that's getting a little confusing? What's true? Did y'all watch that Murdoch? What is it called?
Murdoch.
Yeah, he's that lawyer, South Carolina or whatever, that just got convicted of murder and his wife and his son. He was the big lawyer, and his dad was a lawyer, and his granddad was a lawyer, and they'd done law in that one particular time for years and years and years and years. And now the son just got convicted yesterday or the day before, I believe. And I was just reading. I was reading about that, and I mean, he's staying. They're calling him such a great liar. I mean, he just in his look, he looks to be convinced, although every bit of evidence pointed to him. You see. They caught him in lie after lie after lie, and he finally started admitting to all the lies of stealing money from the firm and then, you know, some lies that really got him convicted. How many of you know we've got to start meditating? That's why last week we talked in Joshua how the Bible tells us to meditate on the Word of God, day and night. Meditate on it, think about it, ponder it, get it into our spirit, man, over and over and over and over and over. Because it says, finally, brethren, the things that are true, whatso things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and you know if they're lovely. Remember how If you're brand new in Christianity, or even if you've been saved for years and years and you've never really understood how to serve God, this will help you. God is good and the devil is bad. Say it with me. God is, he's good. Anything good comes from above, the Bible says. But anything bad does not come from God trying to teach you a lesson. No, it's a devil that tries to steal from you, kill from you, and destroy you. Okay? So here, the Apostle Paul's trying to teach all of us today, the things that are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Come on, say amen to that, y'all. In other words, we've got to start meditating on the things that are actually true. And you know what's true? You, sir, are a man, and you, ma'am, are a woman.
Amen.
And that is true. You can say, now I might get kicked off of YouTube again. But we cannot be men and women that don't know the truth. And the truth is, there's two genders. There's a man, and you know it if you're that. And there's a woman, and you know that because you got that attitude of, what'd you say to me, boy? Right? And us men know the difference. We've got to start meditating on what's true.
Amen.
What's lovely. What's of a good report. I don't want to meditate on all the bad. I don't want to hear from someone that didn't start this church how I should run it differently. No, I want to hear from God. I want to hear the good things. I want to hear the very prophets of God, the prophetess of God that builds up and exhorts and does not tear down. I'll never forget. I've probably told this maybe one or two times, but y'all will remember it on this side, because it was a woman that we ordained her a few months ago, named Glenda McMullen. And I was raised with the McMullen Ranch in Ira Ann, Texas. Anybody know where Ira Ann is? Who doesn't? That's because you got to drive to get there. You get to Sheffield on the interstate, and you got to find Ira Ann, Texas. And you go up the hill on this side of Big Lake. The other side, you get to over there, McCamey and some of those other. But you drive up this big hill, and you get to the top of it, and their ranch is, the entrance is on the right. They own both sides of the road or lease it. And we're at church, and this is a woman, Hon Dennis, oh man, I mean a powerful woman of God. I mean, wow, she was so brave. We would be little kids, and I mean, she just had such a heart for the Lord that, man, I don't care if we were trying to get to a rodeo and we only had 30 minutes. If she saw someone on the side of the road that needed prayer, she's stopping. And us kids are like, no, don't stop today, Mama. We got to get to the rodeo. I mean, she's just a mighty woman of God. Well, we're in this church service, and I'm right behind her, and there's the man is preaching. I don't remember if it was Monty Price or who it was at the time, and it was in Ira Ann. And a lady at the end of the service, and I'm still right behind her, so I heard everything. She said, Glenda, I have a word from the Lord for you. And so Glenda is like, oh, well, praise the Lord, let me have it. And she said, the Lord wanted me to tell you that you're going to go bankrupt in a few months. Now, Glenda did not receive that too well. And she said, I'm probably 16, 17, 18 years old, and Glenda looked at her, because the woman was in front and turned around to Glenda and said, the Lord wanted me to tell you that you're going to go bankrupt in a few months. And Glenda said, well, I rebuke that and you in Jesus' name. Woo! I mean, I was like, and I'm just listening to this. Because listen to me. Prophetic things are building up, not tearing down. And it didn't do Glenda McMullen any good thinking she was getting edified to know she was going to go bankrupt. Now, I'm here to tell you, she didn't. Not at that time, anyway. I don't know if she has since. But she didn't then. The point is I want to have people that build up. So that's why the Apostle Paul's trying to show us here that all these, listen to the Amplified, by the way, in the same verse. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue or excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on, weigh and take account of these things and fix your mind on them. You want to keep peace in your heart? Then you don't want to fix your heart on all the bad things that are going on in this world, all the bad things that you've gone through, hopefully. If you're in the middle of them, get a hold of these scriptures, because I'm here to tell you, God has set you free and cause you to get through the valleys. He'll cause you to be the head and not the tail, praise the Lord. But let's not stop right there real fast, because I want to get down to a great verse in 13 that everybody knows, but don't go there yet. Look at verse 9. Those things which you both have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do it. It says do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Listen to me. There's something about walking and being a doer of the Word of God. I'm not saying people won't make mistakes, but by golly, I want to be the pastor that people want to be like me. Don't get me wrong. I want them to be like Jesus, but they're looking at you and I. That's why the Apostle Paul is saying right here, we are to be people that people want to look up to, people with integrity, people that are men and women of their word, people that live and act according to the word of God, the people that know that they're righteous, praise God. I didn't say false humility. I didn't say holier than thou. I didn't say goody two-shoe type people. Did y'all see that spit come out? I saw it must have been in the light. Anyway. No. I want to be a person that walks like the Lord Jesus. Now, if I make a mistake, thank God for grace and mercy and forgiveness. Praise the Lord. And the Apostle Paul is saying, look. All the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, do it. And then the peace of God shall be with you. Look at verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked the opportunity. And he's saying, look, here's the opportunity. Stay hooked in Jesus. Verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned, listen to this, for I have learned, wake up, for I have learned, I'm getting it. See, that's why you come to church and you want to receive the engrafted word. Once you have learned and you get a hold of this, it says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly, verse 10, that now at the last of your care of me has flourished. And then 9, it says, but that I speak in respect of one, for I've learned, and in whatsoever state I'm in, therefore with it needs to be, I'm content, in other words. You notice he says that? I've learned how to be content. Verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. You know what that means? Here's an example of basing and abounding. Because there's the times when I've seen and experienced both of them. I mean, I have abounded. I was kidding a little bit ago because I told Ricky and you know, I kind of set it up here that, wow, this roping is easy. But remember last month or so, I was talking about confidence issues with my roping. And here in the last few weeks, I mean, every time I pick up a rope, I'm winning money. I mean, it's just like, this is easy. No. I know how to abound, but then I'm trying to learn how to abase too. I remember a preacher friend lived in Louisiana and the hurricane came, right? And he has a very big church and, travels the world. Huge evangelist. And the hurricane destroyed his church, put out power. Everybody needed food. This is not very long ago. Everybody needed food and water, and they would literally have to be in lines to get help. And so he said, well, let's go get in line. And when they saw him, they saw he is a great preacher, and probably a lot of his congregation and just people that seen him on TV were like, oh, no, you don't stay at the back of the line. You're a man of God. You get up there to the front. He goes, absolutely not. And he said this, he said, I know how to abound in the blessing of the Lord, but you got to know how to abase. That's what the Apostle Paul is trying to teach all of us. There's been times when we've had to get through some difficult times so that we can get back to the promised land, the blessing of God. You've got to know how to act in the times when you don't know kind of what's going on. I mean, you're struggling, you're stressed out over different things. You've got to know how to handle in those times. See, that's why it says, I know both how to abase, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full. Let me read the Amplified because it really helps you understand it. It says, I know how to be abased and live humbly in straitened circumstances. And I know also how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I have learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation. Whether well fed or going hungry, having a sufficiency and enough to spare, or going without and being in want. In other words, he's learned how to handle some tough things, and then he's ready to live in abundance. Then it goes on, and this is where I'll close. Verse 13. After all of that, the Apostle Paul is teaching us, stay in peace. It'll surpass understanding. It'll keep your heart and your mind through Christ. Jesus, don't get your eyes off of Jesus. Don't get it on a preacher. Don't get it on a church. Stay hooked in Jesus and Him alone. And I mean, and then he goes on to say, in everything that is true and lovely and of a good report and so on, keep your mind on those things. Meditate on the good, edifying Word of God. Because he's saying, you got to also know how to act in the good times and how to not lose your joy and peace in what some people call a trial or tribulation. Then it says, I have preached on this one verse for several services. I is who? Say it. When it says, I can do all, that's talking about you. See, there's confidence when you have peace of God that you can literally say, I can do. That can word is a verb, y'all. I mean, you can do what? All things. Well, what is all things, though? You can have a successful marriage. You can operate in peace. You can be the head and not the tail. You can be a victor and not a victim. You can do it. You can do all things. And then he reminds us again, through what? Say it louder. Through Christ. Morris, through Christ Jesus. I can do it. See, right there, that ought to give every believer in here the confidence to get on through the trial or tribulation and to stay in victory. You don't have to participate in all the bad things of this world. Remember when I was at that gas station, the man says, oh, wow, we're in a bad economy. And I looked at him and I said, I'm not participating. And he thought I was crazy because I didn't say anything else. He was like, huh? He started talking about the government and how bad it is. I agree with a lot of it. But I just said, even in that, I said, I just choose not to participate. Amen. I don't want to participate in the ways of the world. I want to try to do things like this book says. I want to live in the abundance of a mighty God. I want to maintain the peace of God when everybody else is trying to tell me I'm bad. I want to maintain joy when it looks like things aren't too joyful. I want to maintain some gratitude and humility no matter what, because I serve that kind of a God. So today, if you're going through some things and you need a little bit, I mean, this, you're fired up, but you want some agreement, and you're just going through some things right now, maybe it's a life change of, oh man, I'm having to go from here to here. And there's trying to be some fear. Well, we're going to get rid of that fear right now. So whatever is going on, if the doctor has said some negative report to you about your health, what else, Holy Ghost? Let me tell you something. I meant to pray for it earlier, and I'll just do it right now. The Lord says there is a healing anointing right now for people's joints. I mean, you are having issues in your joints, your elbows, your wrists, your knees, your hips, your ankles. If it's got a joint, God says there's a healing anointing for those things right now. But if you're not having some peace in some things, you've had a little bit of stress and worry, today we're going to get that totally out right now. All I want you to do by faith, when you have faith, that means you step forward, you don't care what anybody thinks. You want to see it changed. If that's you, stand up right where you're at. Come on. I want to pray for you. I just want to pray for you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you've got some issues in the joints, I'm telling you, you better get up. Mm-mm, don't miss this. Don't miss this anointing. God wants to, He wants to edify you and build you up. That He said, here's what the Lord told me in my office. He's telling me now, actually. He said, I created your body in the image how I wanted to create it, healthy and whole. And it's time you walk in that health and wholeness in Jesus' name from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. All you've got to do is receive that by faith in Jesus' name. Now, a lot of people standing up, right? So let's just get this over with. Let's get your bodies right. Let's get the peace of God back in your life. Let's get the care. Remember when the Bible says take no care? You're not supposed to take the care, because that's what you lay all on the Lord Jesus. He's already done it. He said, be careful for nothing. Amen. Right? Amen. You don't want that. So right now, let's take all those issues, those worldly issues that are trying to weigh us down to meditate on all the bad, and let's cast them out right now in Jesus' name. Amen? So everybody standing, put your hand over your heart. Remember? We've got to get this faith from our head to our heart. And this is how the Lord just instructed me. I want you to put your hand on your heart, a point of contact. And let's get this prayer that we're going to pray by faith from our head. It's going to come in our ears and our minds are going to receive it. But let's get it down into the heart where the manifestation happens now. Would y'all be in agreement with that? Yeah. Father, in Jesus' name, and the rest of y'all sitting down, just stretch your hands towards somebody. In Jesus' name, every person with their hand over their heart, I speak healing. Healing is already here. It's already done. Jesus has already done it. All we have to do is by faith receive it. I command healing to manifest now in the joints of the people that are needing the freedom. I say be healed in Jesus' name. Every person that needs just the agreement that they operate in the peace of God, yes, that every care of this world is cast out. Amen. Everything that is trying to weigh them down so that they meditate on it, we no longer will meditate on any of it because we're going to meditate on the Word of God. So be freed in Jesus' mighty name. Say, I agree. Say it. Say, I agree to that. I want to be free in Jesus' name. Now look at me. And you don't have to keep your hand on your heart, because it's already there by faith, right?
Yes, sir.
So let's now, since we're believing that all of this is done, we have the peace of God, all that junk that the devil is trying to destroy us with is over. Remember when the Bible says, speak to the mountain, right? Cast it into the sea. That's what we just did. Amen. Every joint, I mean, just start moving your old joints around. Moving, that's how faith starts. If you got joint problems, just whatever it is, start moving those shoulders around by faith. Amen. Move them around. Come on. I'm tired of hurting. Come on, get your arms up. Move them around in Jesus' name. See, starting to feel a lot better, isn't it? Yeah, why? Because the anointing is here to heal. I mean, that's what you do. Just, whoo, Jesus. Oh, whoo, come on. Come on. Come on, dog. You devil. I mean, you devil want to mess with me? I mean, come on. That's how we're supposed to do. Praise God. Come on. Put hair on that bald spot in Jesus' name. Get hair up there. Hair come forth in the name of Jesus. Now, this is an important thing. Because I've always loved how much hair Dennis McKinley has. Hey, that man right there, that's not a toupee, is it? Touch his hair. Don't say that. That man, can I say how old you are? 80? 94? 78. That's close. He said, I'm closer to 80 than I am 70. So I was close, okay? What a man of God. Amen. All right, now listen. Before you do that, now everybody that's standing, this is a really important part. If you had your hand over your heart, I want you now to begin to praise God. Amen. Come on, praise Him. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, my joints are everything. It feels good. I have the peace of God. Come on, pray it. Amen. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Now, sit down just for a second. Everybody in here, pray this prayer with me, even if you're a believer. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, thank you for forgiving me of every sin. I believe that you, Jesus, have been raised from the dead. And today I'm born again. I'm saved. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name now. With no one looking around, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you just prayed that prayer right there for the very first time and you meant it, I want you to know you got born again. Notice that everybody in here prayed the prayer. Not to get saved again. We just prayed it with you if you prayed it for the first time. But we also have to learn how to lead people to Jesus that will not come to a church, period. And we need to learn how to lead them to Jesus in the horse stalls, at the rodeos, at our jobs, at our baseball games, volleyball. It doesn't matter. And you just learned how by praying the prayer. But if you just prayed it for the very first time, I want you to acknowledge it. In other words, don't you dare be ashamed that you just asked Jesus Christ to come into your life. So if you just prayed that prayer and you gave Jesus the lordship of your life, you prayed it all and you meant it, and you had never done that before, you really didn't know what would happen to you if you died and left this earth. Because there's a heaven and a hell, y'all. But there's only one way to heaven, according to the Gospel of John, and it's through Jesus, because He's the way, truth, and life. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your heart to Him, this morning, you meant it. When I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up and say, this is what you say when you raise it up. You say, God, I meant that prayer, and Jesus is now my Lord. And then just put your hand right back down. That's all I want you to do. And I want you to do it with boldness, not ashamed. Boldness. I just gave my life to Jesus. Are you ready? If you just did that, get that hand up. At the count of three. One, two, three. Go. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? I see someone right over there. Praise God. Thank you. I'll just hand you a Bible. Thank you so much. Glory be to God. If you hadn't raised your hand and you just gave your heart to the Lord Jesus, and you never had, God knows, then just make that public profession of your faith. Remember when the Bible says, if you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus says, I'll confess you before the Father. So don't be ashamed. If you just gave your heart to Jesus, get that hand up, let me see it, and then put it right back down. Go. Glory be to God. All right, look at me. Amen. Thank God there's always some. If you just got that Bible, hopefully in it is a little card that just acknowledges that you gives us a record, really, and we want to help you. If you don't have a Bible-believing church where you live and you live around here, then get back here. If you're a visitor, it's an honor to have you, and I mean it.